Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, we're going to revisit something that we've been talking about here for months, it seems like, and that is the disconnect between the gold shares compared to the gold price. And even recently, gold has still been trending a little bit lower. It got a nice bounce after that whole flash crash early in the morning about a week and a half ago now. However, look, these shares continue to underperform. And one thing I'm really noticing is that the juniors are really getting crushed now. It seems like if it's a boring day for gold and there really isn't any catalyst to move gold higher or lower, it's a selling day for the underlying juniors. Look, I know you've been saying that stocks are on sale. Stocks are selling at a discount, but they keep getting cheaper, Eric. So what do you take away from this environment where, again, these stocks just keep getting hit?
Yeah, so okay, first I would say that, like I think people have figured out by now, I'm a value investor. I don't buy based on charts, I don't buy based on sentiment, I don't buy based on, you know, putting my finger up in there and guess the wind is going to blow. I only look at what the valuations are in the companies and what I'm basically getting for what I'm paying. So, and like I've been saying, since we've had a year-long correction, and gold hasn't gone down that much, in my opinion, and especially now that, like you said, the juniors are crashing. I mean, to me, this is, except for the flash crash in 2020, last year, this is the best risk-reward scenario I have seen, because gold is at 1780 right now. And I remember the 2015-2016 bond. I bought my first mining share in August of 2015. And in hindsight, it looks like, you know, it was the basically a perfect entry. But even though we know now that that basically was around the low, my portfolio from the first time I started buying mining shares, it, within, I think, 4 to 5 months from that obscenely low level, my portfolio was down 47%. So, I mean, most people probably would just have thrown up their hands and like, okay, yeah, this isn't working. I'm stupid as hell. You know, I'm making a mistake right now. But I was a value investor already back then. So I just kept buying all the way down. And I remember right around the bottom, we had a day where gold was almost flat. And the companies like Silver Standard went down 10%. And obviously that makes no rational reason why 10% of the market caps would, you know, go to money heaven just because gold is pretty much flat. So I saw it as a value opportunity. I just bought and bought. And within 8 months after the actual bottom was in, I was up 500%. So that's just goes to show how quickly things can change, and it can start out extremely bad. But if you're right and you bought cheap, the only thing you know is that sentiment will always change. And just to point out the thing about sentiment, that one thing I've noticed since the 2015-16 bottom, every major bottom has basically seen a pattern of gold and the miners diverging. I've shown a chart of the GDX index and gold. And 2015-16, when miners made a new low, gold made a higher low. In 2018, miners made a lower low, gold stayed flat. The divergence during the flash crash, gold stayed flat. Basically, miners put in a way over the, you know, a way lower low. And right now we're in gold at a higher level than it was a few months ago. But miners and especially juniors are making new lows. So we're seeing this divergence again. Basically, all else equal, people are willing to part with their shares of companies, which all else equal have gone up or stayed put in terms of value because the gold price has either been neutral or gone higher. But people are willing to part with those shares for less. And that makes no sense whatsoever based on, you know, value investing or being rational. Basically, people are willing to part with something that has gone up in value for less. So am I surprised to see this at turning points? No. Why? Because at the bottom, et cetera, that's when the last of the, let's say, weak hands get panicked and just sell because they can't take it anymore. And every time we basically also seen miners break support. So that also means that no trader is going to buy it right off the bat. So when the short looks completely horrible, when the miners underperform the metals, that's typically when we've seen a major bottom in place. And right now we're seeing that, and we're close to a 7-year long support zone. So I'm expecting almost that we will have a breakdown, further breakdown in the miners, because that's going to create, I think, the last flush basically of people panicking and every trader exiting, etc. And if so, that would be the four out of four times we've seen the exact same pattern during major lows since 2015.
Okay, so you think the stock still can get a little bit cheaper here? And Eric, I do need to push back a little bit, because I know people are probably listening saying, look, Eric's been bullish, saying that everything's been on sale during this correction, and my portfolio has just kept getting worse. I see my stocks continuing to move lower. And to your point about the businesses being worth more, look, market dictates price, and price sets how much these businesses are worth. And in all fairness, the underlying commodity price, if you're talking about gold, has been correcting. Input costs have been going up. So actually, the underlying value of the company probably has gone down. And then it all depends on where you think these things are going to go. Are input costs going to stay high? Is gold going to continue to correct? Because that flash crash did bring us down to that support at the beginning of March, right around that 1675 level. Look, there's still obviously a lot of fear out in this market, but Eric, what do you have to say to those people that are like, Eric, you've been bullish the whole way down and these things keep on getting cheaper. Now you're saying they're going to get even cheaper. Sounds like I should continue to be on the sidelines holding my cash.
Yeah, I mean, my simple response to that is risk reward. I mean, in my opinion, the risks are obviously to the upside. I mean, if gold was down at 1300, 1400, sure, I could see how, you know, more case of, you know, okay, I don't know if I'm overpaying or whatever. But I mean, I'm looking at some juniors. I see many early stage explorers trading for like 3 million in enterprise value. I see developers with like 3 million ounces trading at 30 million. I mean, there's nobody can say that these valuations aren't cheap. Nobody. And I don't see anyone saying that. Everybody is afraid that price is going to go down and that the market knows something. And it's
price has gone down, though. That's the problem, isn't it? Price has gone down.
That depends on your time horizon, obviously. I mean, my best buys over the last 5-6 years was the buy in August of 2015. Even though the whole portfolio went down 47% in 4 months, I just knew it was cheap and I was never going to sell at these valuations. So that's what I'm doing all the time. I'm just buying more when it gets cheaper. And I've been hodling since, basically I've been all in ever since. So if you enter the market in like the last 8 months, sure, you're going to be down. No question about it. And in hindsight, okay, yeah, you wished your timing would have been better. But were you overpaying then? I don't think so. Are you overpaying now? I think it's almost impossible. Do I know where the price is going to go? No. But I mean, people say that they're long-term investors, etc. But if you hear them talk, they're afraid that price is going to go down in the short term. So what they're saying is they are not fearing that they overpaid for something. They are fearing that they bought something that will go down in price in the short term. But I mean, like you said, also, it's what the market dictates the value. And like Buffett said, in the short term, the market is a voting machine. And that's why I think we see these kinds of divergences at the bottoms, because people don't really make rational decisions when emotions are sky high. But in the long term, they have been weighing machines. So why do I think my strategy works of buying more when it's simply, you know, the more it goes down, let's say, when the risk reward goes up, because I hold it and one day so far I've been bailed out. And I'm talking about a diversified portfolio. I mean, any company can blow up. It's not about that, but I'm waiting for the voting machine to become a weighing machine. And nobody can say to me with a straight face that right now the weighing machine is telling you that you're overpaying for the juniors. There's no way, especially given the macro factors like we're pulling up much more metals in the ground this year than we were finding, and permit, etc. period to get a new mine is just, you know, increasing. And we have the macro tailwinds. We have Palantir, the Silicon Valley company, recently saying they bought $50 million worth of gold. You see insider buying across the sector, basically. You see Ross Beaty putting in millions into Equinox Gold. So, I mean, and you see the private placements doing well. So the institutional money, smart money, and insiders are buying. Gold is at 1780. You see Palantir, which I would consider smart money buying. You see Brazil doubling their gold reserve. So everything looks great except the valuations in the juniors and minors overall, but especially the juniors. And that's why I'm incredibly bullish the juniors, because so far over the last 6 years, any time I bought something cheap when nobody else wanted to buy it, it on average played out very well in a 2 year time frame, let's say.
Well, Eric, right now, let's just say there's some contrarian investors out there that have watched the sector pull back for a year, and they are looking to maybe deploy some capital. There can't be that many of them out there, but if there's a few out there looking, what do you think right now in the junior market, what are maybe just a handful of companies that you're looking at that you think there's some good value here, and they have good work programs, and that they have a potential of, despite the metals prices, going up just because of their value creation?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. And that's one I'm fighting with right now, because there are early stage explorers that are pretty much being given away right now by the market. We're talking 1 to 3 million enterprise value with cash. So it's like, again, that's like bare bottom valuations like 2015, 2016. But this time around, gold is a lot higher and they actually have cash and access to capital. So, I mean, the early stage explorers, way better opportunity than when I started buying miners back in 2015. But at the same time, a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. So, I mean, for some family portfolios, etc., I'm more focusing on the more advanced companies with some resource in the ground. So, you know, you won't end up in a bull market with no gold, because you already are buying proven success, bankable success on the sheep. And then, of course, you would prefer for them to have either some alpha catalysts like Gold Mountain, for example. They have a project in Canada and they should be, I think, start production in Q4 or something. So, I mean, they are close to cash flow. I mean, if everything goes according to plan, they're cheap in that case. Maritime Resources, Newfoundland in Canada. They are also a late stage developer who's basically made an agreement on a mill. Those are the companies I bought for some family portfolios, because there you have the alpha in terms of the developers, you know, ramp up period towards becoming a producer. Plus, you know, you get gold. Plus, there are tier one jurisdictions, etc. So, I mean, it's a buffet out there, but I would focus, especially the less I know about the sector, I would focus on companies having actual resources in the ground with good people and are either drilling and have a lot of cash or are actually, you know, going towards production. Because no matter what the sentiment is, if gold is at 1780, there's going to be developers that are going to make a good buck. So, I mean, worst case, they stay cheap and you buy a developer that gets a PE of like six or whatever, and you get a lot of cash for, you know, for your patience, basically. So that's the stuff I would focus on. Like Rookmaster Resources, I think they're going to have like at least 4 million ounces one of these days. And I think the market cap is like, or the enterprise value, like 29 million US. So, I mean, you don't find stuff like that very often. There are not many multi-million ounce deposits in Canada, etc. Regardless of where gold and silver price is, nobody is just finding tier two, tier three, or tier one deposits just like that. So regardless where the gold price is, the best projects will stay the best projects. And that's, in my opinion, the best margin of safety, because I've never been a fan of optionality, buying the shittiest project around just in hopes of gold price going higher. Because obviously if it stays down and they can't really create any more value because it's a mature project, you don't have any alpha. So I rather pick companies based on alpha. So even if gold doesn't really do well, the stock can do pretty well. Just look at, okay, these are extreme examples, but Newfound Gold, Labrador Gold, SK Mining, Elora Resources. I mean, exploration companies can do well regardless of where gold and silver is. It's just, you know, stacking the odds in your favor, if you will. But if you don't know a lot about exploration, etc., I would just stick to good projects, tier one jurisdictions with bankable resources because they are cheap right now.
All right, Eric, we're going to wrap it up there. It's always interesting chatting with you. And man, oh man, I hope you're right that this divergence in the stocks compared to the metals price finally is signifying a bottom, but it just feels like we've been talking about the stocks leading lower, and that has actually happened. But again, gold bounced back from that 1675 washout, so as long as it can maybe hold around 1800 down to 1700, I guess it's better than dropping even more than that, but boy oh boy, sentiment finally is really washed out in this sector, more so than what people were saying 5-6 months ago. Now it really is. No one cares about the sector, and that can be a good time to get in, but as long as you do still have that long-term bullish outlook. Eric, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. I'll post a link to your website, and we'll chat again in another week or two. Have a good rest of your week there, Eric. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, guys. The same.